Hello, everyone, and welcome to Traveling with Françoise. As we kick into a travel, yes, our travel mode right here on the show, I am Françoise Rhodes. Great to have you with us today. Joining us in the boardroom is Sean Flanagan. Hey, Sean.
Hello, hello.
We went like flying through the first hour.
We're lightning fast travels.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing because it has been a that's probably because my whole week has been
It has been the theme of your week.
Super fast. Just one thing going after another. Today on the show, I want to give you a heads up that we have Captain Laura. She is a commercial airline pilot. She's going to be joining us. I've never had a commercial airline pilot join us on the show, so it's going to be fun.
It will be fun.
Yeah, I mean, I have some thoughts, but I really want to hear questions that I want to ask her, but I'm really interested on her answers on just a lot of things and her thoughts about things, and I don't know. I'm just excited.
I want to hear her talk on the phone, see if it's like when they do the announcements.
We could have her do an announcement on the air. You're applying it, whatever. Anyway, so that's going to be a lot of fun. She's going to be joining us a little bit later on in the show. I have a lot of things going on that I want to tell you about, some events coming up, a lot of information and travel. However, I have to do something. Well, before I do that, I'm going to tell you the third episode of Traveling with Françoise Television, which airs on Fox 11 at noon on Thursdays and 5:30 a.m. on Friday, should be a new episode this week. It's all sent in the closed captioning. Normally, they're pretty quick about the turnaround. My fingers are crossed. I will have it posted on the website. But again, episode number 3 should be out this week. So it's about my trip. It's to the Salton Sea, but not all about the Salton Sea. It's about the trains, the agriculture, Slab City, Salvation Mountain. It's about different things down there.
Yeah. It's just that the Salton Sea is just the area.
It's part of it, because I was able to go out on an airboat.
Oh, yeah?
Which was really awesome. It was a ton of fun. So anyway, that should be out this week. I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And then I want to tell you about my trip to the Mission Inn that happened this week as well. Festa del Amore. But before we do that, I promised everyone that I would give away 2 tickets to see Lorna Luft at the McCallum Theater, because I didn't have time to do this in the first hour. Now, this is on Valentine's night. The show is at 8 p.m. And this is, again, for Lorna Luft presenting the Judy Garland Songbook at the McCallum. Now, the tickets will be at Will Call. You will not be picking these tickets up. You will go to Will Call and show them ID, and that's how you will get your tickets. So I promise I give them away in the first section of the show, the first segment, so we get it done. And I am going to open the phone line, 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255 for 2 tickets for Valentine's night to see Lorna Luft at the McCallum Theater. Tickets will be at Will Call for her Judy Garland songbook. So the lines are open. You cannot have won in the last 30 days. So please go ahead and give us a call, and someone's going to win those tickets for the McCallum Theater this Tuesday night, which is Valentine's night. So there you go. And I want to make sure we put those out there and give those away. All right, during the week, it's been a crazy busy week for me. I was a feature at a luncheon, and then I went to the Mission Inn Hotel and Spa in Riverside, because they have going on right now the Festa del Amore. Festa del Amore, which means Festival of Love, and the Mission Inn looks fabulous. It is so gorgeous. If you saw my segment yesterday on KSQ, you will see they have lights now and hearts, and it's just beautiful there. And there's so much history at the Mission Inn. People don't realize that one of the owners, and I don't want to go through the entire history of it, but one of the owners of the Mission Inn, he was the one who brought these artifacts from all over the world. Mission Inn was never a mission. He just collected bells. He liked bells, and he likes the sound of bells, and he has an incredible collection of bells there. So again, the Mission Inn is one of those where don't stand on the street and look in, go in, go have lunch, dinner, spend the night. You have to spend the night and take a tour of the property, because you'll be, the chapel, beautiful. The stained glass windows, breathtaking. They have the bell collection. They have fine dining. They have casual. They have the spa. Casey's Cupcakes, really, really good. They have an art gallery with a tremendous amount of incredible art there. The artifacts throughout the Mission Inn, which now takes up an entire block an entire block that started out as a 12-room Adobe boarding house. So I want you, again, it's only an hour away at the most to the Mission Inn. I really want you to go on over there, take advantage of it, and see this property, because you'll be blown away. It really is a beautiful property. I know Ronald and Nancy Reagan got married there. Oh, I met John Tesh and Connie Selleck in the elevator.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
You know, I couldn't think of his name.
Really?
I could not think of his name when I first posted on Facebook. I had it down as Dave Tesh. And someone put, because Connie Selleck, we're talking about the Coachella Valley. They used to live down here. For 12 years they lived down here. And I said, did you used to live? And she said, yeah, but we moved a couple of years ago. And he pops in and said, yeah, it was just got too busy, too much traffic down there for us in the Coachella Valley.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic out here.
And I could not think of his name. Of course, he has his own syndicated radio show that's going on for a long time.
He's been around since I was a kid.
Yeah, John. So anyway, they were there for a prayer meeting, and they were staying at the Mission Inn, loved the property. But anyway, that's awful when you can't remember someone's name. I think I might have called him Dave. I don't know what I called him. But I remember Connie, I said to her, I have to ask you, aren't you Connie Selleck? And she laughed and she said, yes, I am. And so anyway, it was really, so they still get a lot of celebrities there, but it's just a little bit of a different feel at the Mission Inn. It really is spectacular. So I encourage you to go over there, especially right now with their Valentine's, but it's really all year long. And they have been so kind to offer you, our listeners, an overnight stay at the Mission Inn for the Festa del Amore event happening all the month of February, plus a $150 dining credit. Now, there is just a short window for you to sign up. Wednesday's the cutoff date, because I need to draw the winner and let them get all the information and book their stay, because this stay expires at the end of this month. So you need to go to the Traveling with Francois website. You want to go to the contest page and click it on, and it's up there on the very, I'm looking at it right now, it is there at the on the top. It says all the contests. It says Historic Mission Inn, Festa del Amore. And the details are right there. The only thing that's wrong, as it says that you need to use your stay midweek. I told them that's going to be really tough for everybody because of the short time frame. So they said, fine, as long as we have room available on a Friday or Saturday night, they'll honor that as well. So go to the website, sign up. That's it. That's what you need to do. And I will draw a winner, and I'll post the winner on Facebook, and I'll get in touch with them first to make sure that they are going to use this. So very, very cool stuff. All right. On that note, we're going to step aside. When we come back, we have some industry news and a lot more. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. I am Francoise Rhodes. This segment is brought to you by the Braille Institute in Rancho Mirage, offering free programs and services for seniors and others living with vision loss due to macular degeneration, glaucoma, and other conditions. So please give them a call at 760-321-1111. They're located on Ramon Road in Rancho Mirage. Really take advantage of all the free help that the Braille Institute has to offer. And all their information is on the Traveling with Francoise website. All right, it's that time of the show to see what the whales are doing out there in Dana Point. Joining us is Donna Kalez, and she is with the Dana Wharf Sport Fishing and Whale Watching business out there. We were out there having a great time. Hi, Donna.
Hi, Francois. How are you today?
I am fine, thank you. First of all, let's check in with the weather. What's it doing out there in Dana Point?
Well, there's sun. It's beautiful. Today, it's so sunny and beautiful. It's perfect. Picture Chamber Commerce Day in Dana Point. So let's hope it holds for a while because we need it.
We do. Now tell us, what are the whales doing? What kind of whale sightings have you had lately?
It's been really spectacular. So we, of course, have our gray whales, which I've been talking about, gray whale migration in full swing. They're bringing their babies. So oftentimes what happens this time of year is that babies are born on the way down to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So last week, even in the fog, we had an amazing encounter with a mom and baby gray whale. We posted that for you on our website and also on Facebook. So take a look at that. It's been pretty good. We've also been seeing humpbacks. So we have gray whales and humpback whales.
All right. And folks, you certainly just find all this information on the website, datawharf.com, and it is all on Traveling with Françoise as well. Now, Donnie, you guys are so creative out there. You have the events going on for Mother's Day, Christmas, New Year's, you name it, Valentine's Day. I keep telling everyone, be creative. What do you have going on for Valentine's Day out there at the Dana Wharf?
Yeah. So for Valentine's Day, we have two special cruises. We have a Valentine's Day sunset cruise, which is 4 to 6, so you can come down, go whale watching with us. We have bottomless champagne on that trip. Mm-hmm. We have complimentary chocolates and all kinds of treats. It's $42 per person. That's 4 to 6 p.m., and then you can go to dinner afterwards. Surprise somebody special with this special Valentine's Day sunset cruise, and that will also go whale watching. So 2-hour whale watch, champagne, the whole thing. If you do have somebody else that loves sparkling wine like we all do, you can come on our Valentine's Day Sparkling Wine Harbor Cruise, which is 5:30 to 7 in the harbor, chocolate bar and sparkling wine tasting cruise, and special from Organic Cellar, which is in Laguna Beach. They bring so much sparkling wine, you can't miss this. And that's only $52 per person.
Well, that just sounds like a lot of fun because everybody's trying to think of some way to be unique for Valentine's Day. I think, Donnie, you just made it simple. You made the choice for us.
Yeah, it's very easy.
And they can purchase these tickets on the website, correct?
Yes, they can just go to danawharf.com, hit events, and there you go. You can buy any of those cruises.
All right. Thank you so much, Donna. You have a happy Valentine's Day. I look forward to that champagne cruise. That sounds right up my alley.
Thanks, Françoise. Have a great one.
All right. You too. We'll see you next time. Okay, folks. Bye-bye. So there you go. The whales are jumping, and Valentine's Day, do something different. Go out. Easy ride. It's about, an hour and 20 minutes or so. We took the bus trip out there and just hopped right off the freeway, and there it was, Dana Wharf. Really easy to find in Dana Point. Again, their website is danawharf.com. All right, other things happening in industry news. Well, hotel room prices in Washington, and listen to this. We always kind of wonder what happens during the inauguration and before. Hotel prices in Washington rose. In fact, Sean, I'm going to put you on the spot. How much do you think the prices rose percentage-wise?
Percentage?
Yep.
How about 115?
How about 927%?
Wow. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go over 100.
You don't think of those numbers. For the week of the inauguration, the average price per day, or per night, let's say, $2,071 per night for a standard double room.
Wow.
$2,000. Of course, going to an inauguration would be pretty darn exciting, but very expensive.
Yeah, really expensive. I feel like I would just drive in for the time and drive back out.
But then people want to jockey to get the best places to stand and all this sort of stuff. So anyway, when the next inauguration comes around, start saving right now. Because it's going to be pricey. If it's $2,000 now, can you imagine what it's going to be in the next one?
That's insane.
It's probably about $4,000 or so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. All right. In Chicago's historic Northwest Tower, known locally as the Coyote Building, it has been transformed into the 69-key Roby Hotel. Features include a rooftop pool, 3 restaurants, and the Hollander Hostel. Hilton Worldwide continues its franchising strategy with its creation of the Tapestry Collection by Hilton brand of upscale hotels. Hilton has letters of intent from 7 hotels, and 35 deals are in the works for Hilton's fifth new brand since 2009, the world's second largest hotelier, and that is Hilton Worldwide. Issuing early waivers for bad weather can help airlines accommodate customers better, the carriers say. Their goal is to issue waivers to thin out operations in cities that will be impacted as early as possible. And this comes from Joanna Garrity from JetBlue. Also, American Airlines is launching its new basic economy service February 10th. So it is launched, offering travelers a low-cost, no-frills option when booking travel. United Airlines is rolling out a similar program. I don't know, but what happened to the days of calling up and say, I need a seat to go here? How much is it going to cost?
That doesn't work anymore.
They're gone.
Yeah, no, that's gone.
I mean, you have to think of how many bags I'm taking. Will that airline even let me carry another bag?
Right.
Yeah.
You have to mail something ahead of time.
I mean, it's getting very confusing out there. Well, maybe Captain Laura. I doubt she cares about. Well, I'm not going to say that she cares, but I don't think her main concern is baggage.
I would hope not.
Yeah.
I hope she has no idea what's going on in that department.
Yeah. She lets the airlines do that, but it is something about having to think. So what is basic economy anymore? I mean, they say low cost, no frills, but do you consider a cup of water a frill? I'm not sure.
Right. You have to all of a sudden decide, okay, what's a frill and what should I just deserve?
Yeah. What is a frill? Do I still get a can of soda? That's probably a frill, I would think.
I don't know.
Anyway. All right. Airports in Houston are using travelers' cell phone Bluetooth signals to track checkpoint wait times in real time. The tracking is anonymous and uses a variety of filters to ensure both anonymity and accuracy, then uses that data to provide an average time for travelers passing through the checkpoints. And that is probably why I have the Wi-Fi off on my phone most of the time when I'm not using it.
That's probably a good.
Of course, if I lost my phone, I'd probably be in trouble. Then I wouldn't be able to find it. But oh well. There you go. And New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport is home to the world's first private animal terminal called the Ark at JFK. The $65 million terminal, 178,000 square foot facility, can handle a range of animal sizes from kittens to Belgian draft horses.
I think you just came up with a name for it.
What?
I think how you mispronounced it with animal is perfect. It's an animal terminal. It's I don't know how you just said it, but it sounded like an animal terminal.
Right. It's a private facility for animals called the Ark. $65 million. I would like to just go see it.
Yeah.
Not even have. And horses?
Horses too?
Yeah. I mean, it says up to Belgian draft horses it can accommodate.
Wow.
That's something. All right. Passengers traveling through Baltimore Washington International Thurgood Marshall Airport can work out at the Rome Fitness Gym located between concourses D and E. The gym features rental workout clothes, cardio equipment, free weights, yoga mats, showers, and more.
That's a hell of a layover.
I don't know about renting the clothes.
No.
I don't know. I'm sure. I don't know. I think I knew if I was going to be working out at the gym there at the airports, I would be bringing some stuff that I don't like and then leave it there.
I think that if I'm working out at a gym at an airport, I'm way busier than I should be.
Yeah.
I need to rethink some things. Okay. I'm very busy.
All right. Well, here's something more for the animal lovers out there. The New York Ritz-Carlton's Pampered Pooch Package offers pets of the guests, specially crafted dog treats, and in-room doggy menu. Kimpton Hotels, meanwhile, has goodie bags for dogs and even enlist dogs to serve as directors of pet relations. I've actually seen that before, and it's really cute. Out in Carlsbad, was it the Carlsbad Inn? I don't remember. If you come in with a pet, of course, the GM's big Labrador retriever would come out and welcome you. But they had all these little sign-in for the pet where they put their little paw in ink and put it in this book and pictures. And in the room, they had the little. I saw what they did. A great job for pet owners out there. It really was pretty darn cute. So, I think, though, when you are going to facilities that cater to folks that have pets, they really do need to have separate rooms, though, because people with pet allergies, they will know instantly, no matter how well you clean a room.
Yes, they will.
That pets have been in there.
Yeah.
So you just have to be really careful about that. But anyway, the directors of pet relations. And here's some more travel news. Some 61% of agents are expecting sales of travel insurance to increase in 2017, according to a survey by Berkshire Hathaway Travel Protection, which is forecasting a rise of almost 5% in total sales this year. The number of trips and the rise in the cost of traveling are contributing to the sales increase. So there you go. If you're getting that travel insurance, expect the price to be up just a little bit more than it was last year, about 5%. All right. Also in the news, Air Canada has a whole new look. Yes, Air Canada unveils a new paint scheme, and that looks like it's going to be black and white with its iconic red maple leaf encircled or Rondell that returns to the tail of the flag carrier's fleet after an absence of 24 years. So they are bringing that red maple leaf back, and the plane, the jets are going to be black with the white design. So that should be pretty awesome, pretty good looking. And what do we have? Flyers, let's see, travelers planning international travel this year. Take note, if your passport expires this year or you require a new passport, get it done. Government officials are anticipating longer wait times for new and renewed passports this year, if only because a number of the travel documents are reaching their 10-year expiration date. In 2007, the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, a new law which required U.S. citizens to have a passport for travel to Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean, went into effect, which means lots of folks received a passport then, and those now need to be renewed, so expect long wait times. Another reason to renew sooner rather than later is many countries now require at least 6 months validity on a passport prior to travel. That's key. Remember that.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I have to check and see if mine's expiring.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I just renewed mine a couple of years ago. And it generally takes about 6 weeks to process a passport, according to the State Department's website. How much does a passport cost? $135 for a new passport book, or $55 for a passport card, which looks a lot like a travel, like a driver's license, and is only good for travel in Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean and Bermuda. Passport renewals cost $110 for the booklet or $30 for the card. So keep that in mind. All right. With that said, we're going to step aside. Has Captain Laura called in yet?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. He's just as excited as I am to talk. And when we come back, Captain Laura Ensettler, there you go, she'll be joining us to talk about some of the information in her book. But I just have some questions for her. I read her book, Remove Before Your Flight, Remove Your Fears and Concerns Before Your Next Flight. Can't wait to talk to her. So stick around, folks. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise right here on Money Radio. I am Francoise Rhodes. Now, I am so excited and honored to have Captain Laura Ensettler join us today on the show. And I am going to call her Captain Laura because I think that is pretty darn cool. Captain Laura, are you there?
Yes, I am here. Thank you so much, Francoise, for having me. And hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I really appreciate all you do to help boost travel and aviation. And hi, Dan. Shout out.
hey, Dan. Yeah, well, I love to travel. I am just, I drive by an airport and I'm hanging out the window, looking at the jets, wondering where is everyone going? I'm always fascinated by that. And I just, I think, you know, Captain Laura, people want my job, but I think your job is incredible. So first of all, tell us how you got involved. When did your fascination with flying start?
Well, that's a great question. My parents, when I was young, they were divorced. So I actually traveled back and forth as an unaccompanied minor. So I just thought I was so special as a VIP to be able to fly at, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old by myself. And of course, back then we had PSA. So the airlines all had big smiley faces, all the jets had the smiles on them, and the flight attendants were so pretty and nice, and I thought, wow, this is such a great kind of a lifestyle and how fun this is to be able to do this. And so I had thought, well, I knew I wanted to travel and meet different people, and I was pretty good academically, but of course back then women just, you didn't see any women pilots at all, so I didn't think it was a career opportunity for us, so delved into it and took my first flying lesson at 15 and have been hooked ever since.
And how long have you been flying a commercial jetliner?
Let's see. Well, I've been flying for over 22 years commercial big jets.
Big
so
jets.
Around the world internationally and domestic. Mm-hmm. I've been flying for over 30 years. I have over 10,000 flying hours and qualified on the 767, 757, A320 Airbus, 737 P3 Convair, and all that. And I love flying aerobatics too. I used to do that, and married and have two children. And of course, I'm a huge aviation and health buff. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, can you tell us, Captain Laura, what airlines you're working with now?
You know, I can't, because it's a kind of, they want us to do, it's I'm not actually representing the airline itself.
Right.
So I'm representing Captain Laura as the brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine. Not a problem. I just was curious. When you were mentioning all these different type of airlines that you are now are certified to fly, when technology, obviously you've seen a lot of changes in technologies over the years, because it all happened so rapidly. It seems like boom, 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 there's more and more and more. For your pilots, for the pilots out there, when you get new technology each time, what is it? What do the pilots have to go through to learn how to use this technology before they actually let you go up in a new jet to fly them?
Right. Well, so for as far as jet training goes, it usually is about a 6-week process for us to learn a specific jet. So it's 4 to 5 weeks of training. 12-hour days. I mean, you live and breathe the airplane and the operation, and then you go out on the line and fly for usually about 2 trips or so, 2 weeks with an instructor pilot. And so when it's new technology or a new type of airplane, we have weeks and weeks of study ahead of time and a lot of ground school to master the systems and how they work and how we interface with the airplane. And then we study those things, and then we learn in the simulators that way, and then we go out on the line and experience it. So it's a long process. It's a great process, especially if you're addicted to airplanes like most of us.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's a great experience. It's a lot. I mean, you kind of have to check out for about 6 weeks from anything that's going on. And, of course, families of pilots understand that, okay, this is a time when we're, ultra-focused on being the best we can so that we can be the safest we can for you all.
Well, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I have your book in my hand right here, and I've read your book. Mm-hmm. It says, Remove Your Fears and Concerns Before Your Next Flight. And it has a tag on the front, and it has you kind of split in half there with your captain's uniform on one side and your beautiful self as just a working woman on the other. I really like the cover. I think it's very, very clever. One theme I noticed throughout the book is safety, safety, safety. Now, I'm sure you hear the grumblings of passengers when you're walking through the terminals to go to your designated terminal, and you hear people, the flight was canceled, this and that. But the theme of safety throughout your book really caught my eye, because people tend to think that captains say, well, I don't feel like flying today. I'm just going to cancel that flight. And I don't think that's the case.
It's definitely not the case. I mean, we're very perfectionistic, mission-oriented, most of us type A personalities. I mean, we want to accomplish the mission. And, of course, most importantly, get you to where you want to be safely and preferably on time. So that's our job. Our number one priority is safety. That is really the product, I think, of the airlines. And that's, being highly skilled, very experienced and well-trained and things like that. So, it is on our shoulders to make those tough decisions. And we know sometimes that it can be very frustrating for passengers. We want you to know that it's frustrating for us as well, because we want to get you there. Sometimes we have weather situations or maintenance situations or even security situations that, we may need to pull the plug on a flight or a delay a flight or divert somewhere or things like that. And we just ask for your support, that if the pilots are making those decisions, to know that this is not what we want to be doing. We want to support you as best as we can. But at the same time, it's safety first. So we want to bring you to your destination as safely as we can. So we have to make those tough decisions sometimes. And, there is pressure from all around. But that's our job. That's what we do.
And with us, folks, is Captain Laura Einsettler. She is a commercial jetline pilot captain, been doing flying all of her life. And one thing you also pointed out in the book, which I really appreciated too, you're a human. You have a family, and you take that into consideration. You said, would I put my family on this flight if I think it's not right? And I think that's a huge testament to how you pilots feel out there, that it's the overall picture.
Absolutely. That's right. It's, we think, okay, you know, the things that you could know is we are up in the front. So to some degree, there is a self-preservation. So we want to be safe and get back to our families. And we take what we do very seriously. So we do, you know, make those decisions and make sure that we're fine, you know, physically, mentally, and all that kind of stuff. We're strong and ready to rock and roll. The airplane's in good condition and weather conditions and things like that. So sometimes it can be uncomfortable and tough, but absolutely right. It's we want to get back to our families too. Sometimes we have things, you know, we're trying to get to the layover as well. To we need to get our crew rest and things like that so that we can be our best for you. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, this is a fun question. Just takeoff or landing, which that's always to me, because I've flown a little. My dad used to like to fly in a small plane, and I was up with him a few times. And at some point, I said I really should take flying lessons, and that never panned out. But
yes.
for you personally, what do you enjoy most? Is it the takeoff or the coming in for the landing?
Oh, do you know, that's a great question. Obviously, I can't speak for all the pilots, but both situations are challenging for us because that's when we do have our adrenaline going. When we're on the takeoff, we're thinking about a million things because, you know, first as we're taxiing out, we want to, well, even before that, when we're at the gate, we want to make sure everything's working properly with the airplane, that the passengers are doing okay. That's part of the assessment, too, is everybody's getting on board. So if you see anything, speak up if it doesn't look right. And, you know, taxi out. And then for takeoff is, you know, what kind of conditions, what sort of runway, where are we at, what are the winds, what is the terrain, things like that. But then also, you know, as we're taking off, you know, if anything goes wrong, you know, during the takeoff portion. So we're always thinking, okay, up to this point, then we're going to reject the takeoff. After this point, depending on the situation, we're going to continue the takeoff, things like that. So, and, you know, we're fast. It's 220, 250 miles an hour sometimes. Yeah. And then landing, of course, that's, you know, fun. And it can be more challenging, obviously, than other times. And so we get our adrenaline pumping. And sometimes we do what I call the full body flying. So it's legs, arms, brain, eyes, sound, you know, feel, everything. It's you're sort of one with the airplane coming in. So it's, it's great. It's and then, of course, sometimes this is like flying a Lamborghini, but, you know, throw in some ice and some thunderstorms, some snow, wind shear, stuff like that. And it can be a pretty exciting. So we love it. That's, you know, why we're pilots. It's, you know, it's, I call it the airplane addiction. So,
well, it sounds like it. And I think there's a misconception out there that people think these planes of today automatically fly themselves. You put it on autopilot. You know, we read these stories that we really don't know as the consumer anything about, but the planes can basically land themselves. But you as the pilot is actually, the captain and co-pilot, you are actually landing the plane.
That's right, and I'm so glad that you brought that up because I don't know where that rumor came from. I'm not sure where we've devolved into that. There's a lot of buttons and switches and things, but we are ultimately in command of that jet. Most of the time, we are flying the airplane, unless it's extremely foggy conditions. You know, the airlines have paid a lot of money to retrofit the airplanes through the manufacturers to make sure, in some cases, we can do an auto land, but that's so few and far between just when the visibility is really low. The rest of the time, you know, a lot of us, we want to maintain our flying skills as well. So we do click everything off and we're flying the jet. So most of the time, you know, that's what you feel. And then, you know, sometimes there's going to be more firm landings than others. You know, sometimes, you know, it's you'll get people and, you know, they're, well, what was that? Well, hey, we're landing in, you know, Orange County on a super short runway, you know, or certain conditions that we need to do that. You know, you want to stop so you're not, you know, things of that nature. So, yeah, exactly. So most of the time it's us. That's right.
Have you ever brought a plane? Have you ever been out of the Coachella Valley out here at Palm Springs International Airport?
Absolutely, yes. We used to fly 737s in and out.
Wait a minute. Next time you're here, you need to be in studio with me for the entire hour. But they say here that the winds, that there's very strong winds across the runways
mountains
here at the airport.
Yes.
And that is what creates where you have to fly around a couple times before you land. Yeah. And whose call is that? Is it your call as a captain when you see the wind speeds are so high? Because people get, then, you know, you do know everyone on the plane. plane's going, oh no, we have to go around again. is it your call, or do you talk to the air control? How does you make that decision?
That's a great question. You know, there's some airports that are just going to be a lot bumpier, a lot windier than others. And those of you that are concerned about turbulence, you always want to try to take an early morning flight. So I just want to kind of put that out there. The bigger the plane, the earlier the morning the flight, the smoother experience you're usually going to have, especially in places like Palm Springs, you know, Reno, Maui, stuff like that. So, we usually what we do is we get the weather information ahead of time as we're coming in. So we know ahead of time, okay, it's going to be pretty gusty conditions. Is it gustier more than the airplane or we think we can handle? Sometimes we'll have to divert in those situations to another local nearby airport, wait until the winds die down and then fly you into your destination or such like that. Sometimes we'll just give it a try and see, okay, well, hey, it may you might just hit that sweet spot. So sometimes we could just come in, boom, bring in the jets and things like that. So we, as the pilots, make those decisions. So we're armed with the information ahead of time. We do have our company dispatchers that sometimes, you know, we always work with them. Sometimes they'll give us a heads up. But ultimately, it's the pilot's say and responsibility. There's two of us, so we both make the decisions together as well. And so we'll come in, and if it's too bumpy, too gusty, too much, then, you know, we'll go around and sometimes try again or sometimes, you know, divert to a local airport.
All right. This is so fascinating. We could go on for 2 hours of the show, the entire show, but we just have about a minute left. And I want to ask you one more question. Your preference again, because I think it's fascinating to hear your preference, Captain Laura. Do you like the big jumbo jets or would you rather fly on the smaller, I think they're RJs is what they call the little kind of commuter flights. Which do you have more fun with?
Oh, well, they're all great. I mean, flying aerobatics, those are sometimes microplanes. So it's really all the same premise. It's pitch and power and energy management. So it just, they're all fun. They're fun to learn, fun to fly, all different things. And so it's for passengers, smoother, usually bigger, just like boats. The bigger the boat, the less chop you're going to feel. And the same thing for airplanes that way from a passenger perspective. So, yeah, I love it all. It's a great challenge. And, you know, I write a lot about it on CaptainLaura.com and those kind of things. You can get more information there. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. You're welcome on the show anytime. Just give me a heads up that you're around, you have something to talk about, and would love to have you back on.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Francoise.
Thank you.
Blue skies to everyone. Great travels, and we'll see you in the sky.
All right. Thank you so much. And folks, you can go to Captain Laura's website at CaptainLaura.com. It's that simple, and you can see where you can order her book, the one that I have in my hand, Remove Before Flight, Remove Your Fears and Concerns Before Your Next Flight. And I'm going to give an autographed copy away. When we get back, we'll be right back, folks. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. Welcome back to the show, everyone. You're listening to Traveling with Francoise. This portion of the show is brought to you by Angel View Marts. Throughout the Coachella Valley and beyond, travelers learn quickly that we don't need a lot of stuff. Well, that holds true for our homes, RVs, boats, and life in general. So where do you take these items, new or gently used? Well, you take them to Angel View. Your donation helps to fund the many programs Angel View offers its clients with life-changing disabilities. Go to the website angelview.org. That's angelview.org and find a store next near you. Okay. All right. Now we have a book here, autographed book from Captain Laura. It is, again, Remove Your Fears and Concerns Before Your Next Flight. Really is a great book. This would be a wonderful gift to give to somebody who's also has a little bit of fear of flying. It really details a lot of things. Yeah, Sean?
Well, that's funny because right as you were saying that, I was thinking of my mom.
Yeah.
My mom does. She doesn't like to fly too much.
I mean, the safety aspect, I was quite amazed at some of the things I was reading here because she really goes over what Captain Laura is trying to do, again, is, you know, calm your fear of flying because they have backups for backups to backups.
Exactly.
And when you think about the millions of people, the flights every day, all the flights around the world, it's quite something.
Yeah.
It really is amazing. So if you'd like to win this book, give us a call at 760. It is an autographed copy for you, 760 760-440-8255. That's 760-440-8255. It is a great gift, or it's a good book. You can always read it first and then give it to someone. And it will be at the station. You will have to pick it up at the station, though, starting on Wednesday. Okay, so again, 760-440-8255. The lines are open. You cannot have one in the last 30 days. All right. And other travel news real quickly as we kind of slide through towards the end of the show here. Desert Adventures Red Jeep Tours and Events, they have a new program going, announced Everyday Heroes campaign. Desert Adventures have this program now that each month they're going to ask the general public to give us a name of an everyday hero who has made a difference in the life of someone in our beautiful valley. Each monthly winner will receive a complimentary Red Jeep tour of the San Andreas Fault Zone for his or herself, the nominator, and up to four family members. So for more information on this, this contest runs through May 30th. You can enter your nominee, Everyday Hero, at info@red-jeep.com. So info@red-jeep.com to nominate someone. So that is very, very cool. Next week, what do we have going on the show next week? Wildflowers and pinballs. So we're going to be talking about the Borrego Springs Resort Golf Club and Spa in Borrego Springs, and a few upcoming shows. I think not this one, the following one. We're going to talk about new management, new owners, and find out what they're doing out there in Borrego Springs. Okay, Sean, we had a winner for the book.
Yes, you did. Unfortunately, I've had horrible luck getting anybody on air today, but you had Val in Rantum Rosh.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I know. What is it?
I don't know. Some days it's easy, and other days they're like, oh, wait.
I know. Yeah.
Because I don't really give them a choice. I just kind of say it, so they have to stop me before I hang up.
Oh, before you hang up. Okay. Jeez. All right. Well, congratulations, Val. And Las Vegas. We have the trip going to Las Vegas, Beyond the Strip, Valley of Fire, Mob Museum, Springs Preserve, and more. That's going to be happening May 10th through 13th. It's going to be 4 days and 3 nights. I'm hosting the trip. I'll be on the bus with you. And I'm in partnership with Adult Customized Tours, who has so many things going on right now. Go to their website. Plan that special trip for you or you and someone special by going to their website. ACT-tours.com, or give them a call at 760-322-1247. So again, that trip is in May 10th through 13th. It is Las Vegas, Beyond the Strip, Valley of Fire, Mob Museum, Springs Preserve, and more. You do not need to put any money down right now. All you just need to do is call and give them your name. It is $495 per person. Includes transportation, lodging, daily breakfast, attraction, admission fees, and more. All right. Sounds like a good time. Okay. And again, the new Traveling with Francois segment on TV should be out this week. So I am real excited about that. The Festival of the Whales is set for, we should have Donna talk to us about that, for March 4th, 5th, 11th, and 12th at Dana Point. So you might want to get a room hooked up for yourself and go out there. Enjoy the Festival of the Whales. It is a 46th annual event there in Dana Point. So get your room now, I'm thinking, because they're going to be 46 years. I think they have a lot of people that come year after year.
I think they know what they're doing at this point.
Yeah, exactly. There's a reason when something lasts that long. Of course, we have a lot of things going on all over now. It is time for the desert season to be in full swing as far as visitors to the valleys here, to Arizona, to Las Vegas, to all the desert regions. Wildflowers are going to be blooming. I already saw some yesterday along the road. So wildflowers, the hills are green in California when you're driving outside of the Coachella Valley. Next week, we're going to talk about the upcoming Wildflower Festival, and we're going to have John Weeks join us. He is the founder of the Museum of Pinball in Banning, and we also have some tickets to give away to their big pinball expo in March. On that note, we're going to step aside. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. Thank you, Sean, for handling the phone lines in there. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next week, folks. And remember, it's never too late to get a life. See you next time. Bye.